Well, hi, I'm Brian Houston, and I want to welcome you to this weekly leadership podcast. So glad you've joined me for this because I love speaking into leaders and speaking into their potential. For many, many years now, I've spoken into our leadership and team and staff every single week. And when I have the opportunity, I love to try to build the dynamic in them that helps them to step up into all of their leadership potential. So that's exactly what I want to do here through this podcast. Also, I have a leadership blog, comes out once a month, and I'd love you to have a look at that, BrianCHouston.com. Be blessed, and again, I hope that this stretches and enlarges you. I'm so excited about the potential of this new Live, Love, Lead small group study. It's my prayer that this resource will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. Whether you choose to do it with a friend or an entire classroom of people, I believe that the teachings, the personal stories will radically impact you and your Christian walk. You know, you don't just happen onto anything when it comes to atmosphere, culture, DNA. You have to be fairly deliberate. You have to be fairly intentional. And so, obviously, I want to talk to people in layers here. I want to talk firstly to anyone who gets the opportunity at Hillsong Church to preach or teach on any of our platforms at any level. And to me, that would even include like on youth groups and the greater extended times that people gather. There's a lot of ways that people gather. And so some of these things apply specifically really to speaking on a weekend or in church or you know, in big key meetings. And some of these things would relate to other parts of church life. But especially there in Melbourne, where a lot of you are new, various people have opportunity and will have opportunity in the future to speak or preach or teach or share from the platform. So I really want you guys to catch this and in Brisbane as well. And of course, all the students, just like Brian Cambos, who's going to build a mighty church in Ecuador. It'd be great to hear some of these things for what's ahead of you, even if it doesn't relate to you now. And so the number one thing that I want to share with you, at Hillsong Church, every message is positive. It's never reactionary or pointed to individuals. Every message is positive, not reactionary. So easy, especially if you pass through church or if you deal with people, to have things in your spirit. Someone's upset you, someone said something, someone did something that really, really bugged you. And it's the easiest thing in the world to use a platform, not really to speak to everyone, but to speak to someone. And that's probably a coward's way of doing it. And you're not blessing anyone else, and you're certainly not helping the person that you maybe... And I always feel if there's one person in your mind when you're speaking or preaching, when you lead, if there's always one person you think, well, I wonder what they're thinking, I wonder what they're thinking, I wonder, then that person's far too important in your thinking. And you can't bring it down to what a single person thinks. You have to basically be open to what everybody is doing and thinking. Number two, every message is in line with Hillsong's, or in our case, Australian Christian Church's, what we believe. And so we have a very... basic, what we believe. It just covers the absolute basics of our faith. There's approximately 12 points in there. And it's not as though you have to get all those 12 points into every message you preach, but you certainly can't contradict those basic fundamentals when it comes to preaching or teaching in our church. And the first thing everyone should do, if you're going to be speaking at a Hillsong Church service, extension service, anywhere, make sure you know what we believe. If I asked you to write them down right now, how many of those fundamentals of the faith and basic doctrine points of Hillsong Church would you actually know? So it's good to make sure we familiarize ourselves with it. Number three, every message is 35 minutes or less. Our meetings don't finish late. So sometimes on a Sunday night, we may give ourselves a little bit of grace just to finish the service on an end. But really at our church, everyone knows you start on time, we end on time. And I feel like that is just building a good, stewardship with people. Because people have huge days. I always feel like when people come to church, it's an amazing thing. They only have a certain amount of hours in their weekend. They've obviously got other things they need to do, whether it's mowing lawns or just spend time with the kids or all the other stuff you have to do. And people actually come to church. And I like people to be able to know if they bring a visitor, if they bring a friend, if they come themselves. We pretty well know if we go at that time, that's when it starts, and that we can plan that that's when it finishes. And to be honest, I think that obviously not, that's not the way with every church. but it's sometimes much more difficult to preach for 35 minutes than it is for 60 minutes. You can do a lot of waffling in 60 minutes, and don't kid yourself, you're not as interesting as you think. And that's what every speaker needs to remember. I'm not actually as good as I think. And that way, then we just are grateful that we have 35 minutes that people actually sit there and listen to us. But here's something worth thinking about. And I've said this to the guys at our church who speak and preach. The moment you go over 35 minutes, you're outside of your authority. Because as far as this church goes, I'm the senior pastor. And I give people opportunity to share the platform God's given me. And so they are stewards of that platform. So the moment someone goes over the time they're given, they're actually gone outside of their authority. And having said that, I must say our team are incredible at starting when they need to start, finishing when they need to finish. Number four, every new point is proven in the Word. If you can't prove it in Scripture, don't say it. It's not a motivational speech. I feel like every point you make, you need to reinforce with Scripture, because it's what the Word of God says, not just what we think that matters. And so every new point is proven in the Word. Every point needs to be backed up by a Scripture. Every Scripture used needs to be used in context or in tenor with the whole of Scripture. So it doesn't take long. Doesn't take long if you find a Scripture that actually really is great for your point, to just make sure that it also flows in with basically the overall context of Scripture. And, you know, you'll always find some version that makes your point if you look hard enough. But honestly, it is really important. If you want to be taken seriously, if you want credibility, if you want to be respected by some people out there who maybe know the Bible better than you do, then make sure that you use the Scripture in context, because people lose respect if you don't. Number five, every message should reflect many hours of meditation, preparation, and familiarization. Listen to them again. Meditation, preparation, familiarization. To me, all three are important. Meditation is just to take the time to think things through. It's amazing when you meditate on a thought, how God can speak to you and how you can get all of this revelation out of a single thought or a single scripture. But you've got to take the time to think. And thinking is critical. Preparation is actually making sure you put the time into trying to get that structure as good as you possibly can. Everyone's got different styles, and that's good. There's no one right way to preach. There's no one right way to communicate. The right way is to make sure that you are impacting the people that you're talking to. So with that in mind, I think the meditation, the preparation, which is much more about finding the structure and fitting it all into, and then the familiarization, where if I'm rushed, that's the part that gets missed, is the familiarization, which means I don't get it deep into my spirit. And if it's not in my spirit, it's hard to put it into anyone else's spirit. So three things that I think every message should reflect. Number six, every message should be checked for overuse of the word I. My services, my message, my this, I, my, me. You've got to use illustrations that come out of your own life. So to me, that's connecting with people. And all of us, we need to talk about things that happen in our world. So it's not as though you can't ever use I. But if you look in the scripture, you look at the prodigal son's older brother. He says, my, me, my, I, what about me? You look at Moses when he was freaked out about what God asked him to do. He said, who am I that I should go? And I'm not eloquent. I. And usually I, it just means that all of my focus is on myself. And I feel like people see through it. So don't be afraid to use illustration that comes right out of your life. But if you just find that it's all about me, my, I all the time, that number one, people see through it, and number two, I just think there's too much attention on you rather than on what God wants you to be saying and doing. Number seven, every message is focused on helping people, not impressing people. And you know, sometimes you have to remind yourself of that. And again, if there's someone there in particular who maybe they're new, maybe they're important, maybe, and it's very easy to slide into the great mistake of hoping that they're impressed rather than just helping people. I never forget what Joyce Meyer said once. It's so simple. But I asked Joyce Meyer once, I said, do you ever get nervous? She said, she stopped for a minute. She just went, well, I never think about myself. I just focus on helping people. And I thought, what a great, what a profound answer. You know, I just never think about myself. And when you think about that, you think about nerves and why we get nervous. It's because we're trying to impress people. We're thinking about ourselves. But if we just focus on really wanting to do our best to bless and help other people, then we get the attention into the right place. Every message.
I'm so excited about the potential of this new Live, Love, Lead small group study. It's my prayer that this resource will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. Whether you choose to do it with a friend or an entire classroom of people, I believe that the teachings, the personal stories will radically impact you and your Christian walk.
Number eight, should reinforce and never contradict the cultural values of Hillsong Church. So I talked about our doctrine, our theology, but for example, with our staff and team, I talked not so long ago about 10 cultural responsibilities I will embrace. So there are 10 things that immediately, everything you're saying should reinforce those things, not work contrary to those things. So if you are here and you're part of this church, and you're speaking on this platform, whether or not you agree or disagree, where you are means that I respect those cultural boundaries, those cultural values, and nothing in my spirit's gonna contradict them. Number nine, every message should come from the New Testament perspective of a crucified and resurrected Christ. Doesn't mean you can't use the Old Testament, means you use the Old Testament through a New Testament lens. And you can make all sorts of bound and legalistic points from the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it came from the New Testament as well. But what is absolutely critical is that we use the whole tenor of Scripture. The Bible says all Scripture is breathed by God, and that we understand that the Old Testament's there, we're told, as an example, and so on. However, when guys just preach the Old Testament from the Old Testament, man, it can say some pretty nasty things. For example, if you sleep with your boyfriend, if a homosexual sleeps with his boyfriend, he should be dead. If you just want to preach the Old Testament, that's what it says. So you say, well, I wouldn't say that, but I would say this. Well, everything we preach from the Old Testament, in my mind, has to be preached through the New Testament lens. In other words, you have to look back through the resurrection and the cross of Christ to the Old Testament, and that way you'll use it in a way that's always going to bless and build people's lives and not squash people. Oh, great, I've lost my page. I thought for a second I'd deleted my entire page, but I haven't. You would have all been rejoicing because I'm only up to point 10 and I got 30 of them. But number 10, every message should reflect the life you're living, not just a sermon you're preaching. Now, to be honest, the best messages come out of our own struggles and journeys. And you can almost guarantee that whatever a guy's preaching, he's living to a point. And it's not as though every person who stands up and preaches got it all together. We all hopefully know that's absolutely not true. So sometimes we're preaching out of our own challenge, our own battle, our own struggle. But if you just become a professional who preaches sermons and you don't even attempt your life to live up to what you're preaching, then you're going to have a massive gap when it comes to reality and authenticity. And again, authenticity can be sensed. And so can a lack of authenticity. If you're a professional preacher, people can see it. And you can be the most eloquent person in the world, but you won't be building anything. You won't actually be helping anybody. Sometimes you think about messages that you just, you know, you at the time you laughed, you thought it was hilarious, you thought it was fantastic, it was awesome, the guy was so polished, he was so eloquent, or she was so eloquent. And then you go away, the great test is a week later. What change did it make to your life? What do you actually remember about what they said? Was it just really good entertainment? What did they actually impact and bless you and help you? So every message should reflect the life you are living. And it doesn't have to be a perfect life. It doesn't matter if it's sometime coming out of your own struggle. But I mean, if I preach a message over here and I have no intention of trying to live that myself, then there's going to be a credibility gap every time. Number 11, every message should reflect the speaker being themselves, not a poor imitation of someone else. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn. It sounds so simple. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn. Just be yourself. You'll always be your best if you're just being yourself. We want to be our improved selves. We want to be our sanctified selves. We want to be our selves the way Christ sees us, not just use, I'm just going to be myself, to support rebellion or support, you know, just a bad spirit or negativity. But man, I tell you, I at times have come under the pressure of what other people, what I think other people think I should be, and trying to be that. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can only be me. And you know, when I am me, it's amazing how God can use me. And if God can use me, he can use anyone. He can use Brian Campos in Ecuador to build a mighty church. Number 12, every message should affect people's Monday, not just their Sunday. In other words, if I can't apply this to my everyday life, how's it really helping me? And we're talking about church building here. And you know, you can preach beautiful devotionals. You can maybe, you can preach great, great, great revelation. But if it actually is inapplicable to someone's world and someone's life, I don't feel like you're building. And I've often said the greatest compliment anyone can ever give me in our church is when one of the businessmen or someone says, all I've done is taken the principles I learned at church and applied them to my business. And those are the sorts of things I love to hear, because that's exactly what our intention is. Our intention is to take biblical truth, biblical principle, relate them in a way where you can use them in your relationship, your marriage, building your ministry, fulfilling your gift, being who God called you to be. So it's got to apply to people's Mondays, not just their Sundays. And to be honest, you can go into churches that can become very introspective, because it's all about our Sunday and God blessing us, and it's all about this way. And I think that it's dangerous. You always got to be wanting to impact outwards. Number 13, every message should not stray into things you don't understand. I don't know whether, as those of you who do speak or have spoken, I don't know whether you know how horrible that feeling is when you're standing up there trying to speak on something, you're thinking to yourself, I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. It's a horrible feeling. If you don't know anything about end times, just don't go there. Because you will make a fool of yourself. And there's probably people out there who know end time theology, eschatology, a whole lot better than you do. And so stay within your boundaries. You've got to stretch. You've got to sometimes grow. If you're not growing, you're not going to be helping people. But it's a great mistake to get up and fumble around. Maybe you heard of someone else's revelation. You're trying to preach it, but it's not your revelation. So you actually haven't got a clue what you're talking about. And not only does it feel terrible, I know I've been there. Not only does it feel terrible, but you can also guarantee it's not going over well either. So stick to what you know. And of course, the great key there is to make sure that what you know, that you're growing in it, that you really are growing in the Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, talking about the qualifications of a bishop or a church leader, it actually there talks about, the Message puts it this way. No, it literally just says in the Message, know what you're talking about. So it's talking about the various things that bishops should do. And one of the points simply is know what you're talking about. And the only way you can know what you're talking about is many hours of Bible reading, acquired knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You've got to grow in your gift. If you, and obviously, if you've been doing this a long time, then growing becomes a big challenge. But the Scripture's unsearchable. I find that the greater the love you get for the Scripture, that love perpetuates an even greater love. And so it's not as though preparation for me historically can be a labor sometimes. Like, I love the preaching, I love them, but the actual preparation, I love the thinking about it, but the sitting down with the discipline of doing it, it's not always my forte. However, what I find is the more I do it, the more I actually develop a love for it. And that's good. Number 14, every message reflects what we are for, not what we are against. Anyone can talk about what we're against. But I don't want our pulpit just to be used to be spouting what we are against. I want us to be focusing on who and what we are for. And by our lifestyle, by sometimes the lives we live, it reflects maybe who, what we're for, what we're against. But man, it's a horrible thing when someone just gets up and rails against everybody else. They rail against other Christians, rail against other pastors, rail against different areas of society. And it doesn't build for healthy church life. You don't walk out feeling better than you came in. If all you hear all the time is slam, 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 this is what we're against. Number 15, every message should let people leave feeling better about themselves than when they came. And that's an actual intention that I approach every Sunday with, not just preaching, but our services. I want people to walk out feeling better about God, feeling better about life, feeling better about themselves than when they came in. It's actually not hard to do, because out there in the world, there's not a whole lot of input into people. Oftentimes, the people, even in their own homes, they're starving for just genuine encouragement and support and reinforcement and belief in themselves. So it's not hard to just speak life. I often have had people say over the years about our church, they come maybe from somewhere else and they become part of our church, and they say, it's always so positive. You're all so positive. And I think, I'd never even think of it like that. No one's trying to be positive. All we're trying to do is have an encouraging environment and speak life into people. And it's not hard to do, but you do have to be intentional about it.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Houston Leadership Podcast. For more great content and resource from Brian, check out briancehouston.com.